Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 168. God, 168. Wow. It's episode 168, Hobby Bunker Game Day 2016. And I am delighted for a few reasons. First of all, I want to remind all of you new and longtime listeners alike, you don't have to remember everything that's talked about on the show, because we have the show notes, which are fantastic. You can go to the show notes, you can see what we talk about, you get links, all the cool stuff. You will find those at wargamingrecon.com/WR168. wargamingrecon.com/WR168. The other reason why I'm very excited is several of you way back had sent in some listener feedback saying that you love hearing me talk, which I appreciate, but you love it even more when I have a guest, and you thought it would be really cool if I could have multiple guests or someone who would be willing to kind of be like a guest co-host to come on from time to time. If I'm remembering correctly, listener Jay in particular had brought this idea up. So Jay, if I got it wrong, I apologize, but I think it's you. So I'm delighted to say that I've done that for today and from time to time down the road. We're going to have a really cool special guest co-host on with me. He's been on the show before as a guest, and I think I've embarrassed him in the past by calling him a superstar GM. I am, of course, referring to the one, the only, Mr. Mike Payne. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, Jonathan.
I am, beyond a doubt, so happy that you're here to talk about today's episode in particular, but just to kind of be part of the Wargaming Recon family. It's really cool.
Well, me too. I just love talking about the hobby. When we're not playing it, at least we can talk about it.
Yeah, and I mean, for people who don't know, we do this live, so you can watch on YouTube, done with a video and audio and all that kind of stuff, YouTube live, and you'll get to see me talk. Mike, you don't have a webcam, but maybe one of these days I'll be able to get you one at a good price, and I can just send it your way, so people will be able to see you in addition to hearing you. But for the time being, they get your amazing voice, and what else do they need?
Well, I don't want you to see this mess of a hobby room I got here, so maybe not.
Okay. But, well, you know what they say about that mountain of lead? When it's gone, so, well, so you want all those projects.
I should be around for a while.
You and me both. Well, we're talking today about the Hobby Bunker Game Day, and it's been going on for, what was this, the fourth year, Mike? The third year, maybe?
Fourth or fifth, I think.
You started being involved with it before I did. I think you started a year or maybe two before me, and I was told about it. I can't remember if you told me or if a mutual friend of ours, Adrian, happened to have mentioned it. But it's a really good event that's held at the Hobby Bunker. It's in Malden, Massachusetts, and they do it, well, they do it every summer, but I think they do one other one, maybe in the spring, perhaps, or the fall. I feel like they do a couple of them every year.
Yeah, well, I know they do the one in August, but I'm not sure if they do another one or not. Maybe something smaller. I've only been to the August one.
Myself too. I've only gone to August, and it's not run officially by the Hobby Bunker. It's run by this amazing gaming club here, the Boston Train Bands. They do a lot of historicals, Bolt Action, Hail Caesar, Black Powder, but they enter a lot of other things too. And so they kind of organize it. They have a great arrangement with the people over at the Hobby Bunker to use that as a space. They do weekly meetings on Saturdays, but to do this event too. So it's a lot of historical wargaming, but not just historical, because Mike, you GM your game there, and I don't think you would refer to your game as historical, although inspired by history, I would say.
I guess that's a good way to, I'm going to use that for now on.
Go for it.
That sounds about right.
So this year, as you mentioned, they tend to do it in August. So they did it August 27th, 2016. It was a Saturday from 10 a.m. in the morning to 10 at night. And for me, this was the first year I actually went and played in anything. Cause usually I go with Adrian, actually, we go together because for us, Malden isn't just next door and it's easier for us to carpool and then go all the way in. We got to cut through Boston and then come up the other side. So it's easy for us to go together and go. And usually we just go for a couple hours and we look, we chat, we take pictures and then shop, of course, and then we leave. But this year, Adrian and I were like, hey, we should, you know, play in something. And, I worked it out with my wife so that it would be okay for me to go while she works the baby. And he took care of things on his end and we played in games and it was a lot of fun. Mike, do you remember what some of the games were that they were hosting?
Well, there were a whole bunch of different games. I had a list here somewhere.
I have a partial list as well. Obviously your game, The Battle of Hanghai, China, 1932.
Right.
I
ran that twice.
Yeah. Well, you were only going to run it once until some big mouth was like, hey, Mike, can you do it in the afternoon too? Cause I would really like to play. I don't know who that moron was, but some jerk.
Well, I think maybe that was you, John.
I think you might be right. It was really great that you did it though, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to play in that. And I love playing in your game.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that you asked me to do it because as much fun as I had running it the first session, it was even more fun the second time we ran it. We had a little bit bigger crowd and some really good mix of players in the game. It was fun. I had a blast.
Yeah, it was a good mix of ages too. There were some kids who were in their teens and some older people and some younger, older people. And I think it was a nice mix of people with different abilities too. So it wasn't just a lot of diehard wargamers, nor a lot of people who didn't really get it. It was kind of a nice blending there. So we all complimented one another.
Yeah, that's when I have the most fun. I have a group like that. The earlier game, I had three kids and one adult, and the adult had never played before, but he was a really good sport because the kids were kind of tough. But we had a lot of fun. It was really good. But it's just so much better when you have a little bit bigger group and a little more even mix. You know, that game probably would have been better with at least one more adult. You know?
Yeah, and you know, actually, I'm surprised to hear you say that you had four people playing because I'm used to seeing your table packed. It would, like, you usually have to either find room for someone or they have to come back and play in another session of it. So, it's unusual that you wouldn't have as many people.
Well, there was a lot of good games out there and, I've had no one show up for the game before. I know that's hard for me to believe, but, you know, I mean, you can always play my game. You know, I'm going to keep on doing it, you know? So why not play something else that somebody's only going to set up once? I don't blame you.
Right next to your table, there was, in the morning, I think we were right next to it. We were playing Hail Caesar, the Battle of Agrigentum, 262 BC from the First Punic War. I was excited to play in it because I had never played in Hail Caesar before, but, you've heard me talk about it because, of course, I don't have them handy, but, I have the rule book and I've been wanting to play, but I know I'm not going to paint anything and not going to assemble. So I came across this interesting idea about using that army deck of cards, for it. But I wanted to, you know, actually play the game from someone who knew how to play it. So I wouldn't just be like, I think I do this and I think I do that and I'm really wrong, but let's just pretend. So it was nice to actually get my hands on some models and to play the game. But I tell you, I was surprised, while I was playing that some things didn't feel right. And I wasn't quite sure what it was, if it was cause like it was my first time playing or what it was. But when I got home, I looked in the rule book and there were a lot of things that we did that were wrong. And that doesn't bother me because, and this might sound odd to people that I don't care if I play a game wrong. For me, when you go to an event like this, I don't expect a GM to remember all the rules for a game system. But what I do expect is that they're going to be consistent in how they handle things. So the guy who ran it, I think he just kind of got confused because it had been a while since he had played Hail Caesar. And he had played the other game, Black Powder. So I think he kind of mixed some of the Black Powder with some of the Hail Caesar. And he was consistent in how he mixed it. So he had one rule pertaining to charges for how he wanted us to handle a charge. And it's not the correct way to do it. But he did that every single time we wanted to do a charge. So it didn't matter that it was wrong. I mean, if it was the correct rule, great. But it didn't change really the outcome of the game because we did it the same way every single time. So that kind of consistency, I think, helps a lot so that you're not flip-flopping because then you give that uneven experience to people saying, well, yeah, you can do this, but no, you can't do that, but maybe you can't, I don't know. And so his uniformity was much appreciated, actually. And
I'm sure it was much more uniform than what I used.
No, but you know what though? In your case, and we probably have talked about this before, but in your case, you may not give the same result for something, but in your mind, in each game session, you go through a similar process. So let's say I'm playing in your game and I have a bunch of guys coming off a table edge and this came up in the game. I was starting off a table edge and I wanted to know if I could enter a building through the window. And I said, Mike, can I enter the building through the window? And he said, you know what? You can, but you're going to have to subtract, I think it was 2 inches or whatever it was, whatever the distance was from my movement. If someone else came up to you and said, hey, Mike, I want to also enter a building through a window, you would have been like, well, yeah, but you need to do whatever. And so you would have went through the same process of hearing the person out, what they wanted to do, why they wanted to do it, and figuring out how difficult it was. So you kind of, in my mind, look at these things almost as if it was a role-playing game where you as game master are deciding how difficult something should be and how likely the result should happen in the game so that anything is possible, but not everything is plausible.
Yeah, I get away with that almost all the time. Every once in a while I have somebody that says, well, your game's just a little too loose for me. And that's okay. You know, I mean, that's just the way I do it. You know, you don't have to like it, but I have fun. So that's important to me. And I hope everybody else does too. I'm not making any guarantees.
That's also a good reason why there's so many different types of games out there too. I mean, we had your game, the two sessions of your game, the Hail Caesar game that I played in the afternoon, there was that sci-fi game and I didn't catch the name of it, but that was on the same table. And I think that was one that's being done on Kickstarter.
Right, right. Tim Colonna's game. He had some rules printed up. I keep meaning to ask him. I'm gonna have to send him a message and ask him to explain to me how to say the name of you. I just don't quite know how to say that. Right?
Well, it looked like they were having fun, and it looked like a skirmish game of some sort. I think the pieces were made on a 3D printer, and I know that Matt, the owner of the Hobby Bunker, was playing in it, and he seemed to have a lot of fun playing in that game, whatever it was.
I got it right. It's, let's see, how do you say it? Trillithurum. That's the best I can do.
Okay.
A man reaches the stars and begins life on other worlds. Conflicts arise. Join me for testing of the new 50mm sci-fi rules. That's Tim Colonna's game.
It sounds interesting. It
looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, the models looked really good too. I mean, considering they were 3D printed, they looked great. But in general, they looked really good. Very well done. Nice, refinements and detail to them and easy to use. And obviously because they're 3D printed, they're nice and light, which is something I love. And I think they were done different colors so that you don't have to paint them is my guess, but you could if you wanted to.
I'm not sure about that. I thought they were painted. Maybe not. I got a couple of photos here, but they look like they're painted in photos.
But
maybe not, you know, it's just a photo.
No, do you know what? I bet you're right, because while it was going on, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my invading army there and how likely it was I was going to actually survive a turn.
You know, I played Hail Caesar, a playtest for Gordon up there with Adler Hobby a couple of years ago when he was doing the big Mongol game of Hazar. And I like those rules. I haven't played Black Powder and all that. Those type of rules that much, but when I play them, I like them. They're kind of fun, you know. There's not too much stuff going on with them, you know. I hate modifiers, but they're not outrageous, so it's not too bad.
One of the things I love about it is that they encourage you to modify them to suit your needs. Some rule systems, I think most rules know that they will probably be modified somehow. There'll be a house rule, or maybe someone's just gonna tweak things a little bit to their liking. But it's not always so explicitly stated, whereas Black Powder, Hail Caesar, all those, they say that. And like you said, there's not a million different things you have to keep track of. It's not playing a game of Battletech where you have 40 million boxes and you get to say, well, did I do damage to this arm? Did this fourth weapon fire? Did this? In Hail Caesar, the turn sequence is so simple. It's you go, I go. You declare your movements or orders rather, which can be movements and charges or so forth. You see what you do by rolling command dice to see, do you get to do one order, two order, three orders which dictates your distance moved, all that kind of stuff. You do your close combat or your shooting, you get your combat results, and you move on. And so it's very streamlined, and it's also very clear, I think, in how things are supposed to go. So there's not a whole lot of obscurity there. It's pretty cut and dry. And I mean, obviously with anything, the more complicated it gets, the less clear and dry it becomes. So like with Hail Caesar, if you're doing close combat and you have like five units engaged in close combat and they're charging each other in different arcs in the front and the side and the rear, whatever, who does attacks where and all that kind of stuff gets a little messy. But by and large, it's not too bad. And I've never played Pike and Shot, which is their other rule set, but I believe it's very similar because that's built off Hail Caesar. And Hail Caesar is built off Black Powder. And Hail Caesar and Black Powder are basically the same except for some of the close combat stuff.
I played Pike and Shot down at Historicon a couple of years ago, and it was fun. I liked it. It was pretty much the same thing. You know, I mean, they're trying to cover the time period, but it was more or less as similar. I played Black Powder at the Hobby Day, the Hobby Game Day, Hobby Bunker Game Day, and that was fun too. We even won.
Wow.
So that wasn't a bad thing.
They ran a Black Powder game too this year, the Battle of Merksem, I believe it was.
That's the game I played in.
From 1814. So they did that. And then, Rich Clayton, I think, he ran a couple games. He did, Hail Caesar, later on in the day, the Battle of Stamford Bridge. So you got to do your Vikings and, well, Saxons and so forth. And then.
Yeah, I didn't see that. And I was just looking for pictures of that and I didn't get any pictures.
And he also did, I think he was the one who did it, the Pike and Shot game, Battle of Swansea from King Philip's War. I think.
Yeah, he did do that. I got pictures of that.
And, he did, I think that's the one he did on the really big table. They had this long table in the back of the room and they stratted it off. I think it was with the Sharp Practice rule set, which I think those are the two Fat Lardies rules. I've heard really good things about them. You know, from the Peninsula War. And, I actually was going to sign up for that, but I wanted to do Hail Caesar because I knew I would actually be playing Hail Caesar, whereas I don't own the rules for sharp practice or anything like that.
I think that was Rob Walter's game.
Okay.
I think. I'm pretty sure. I got some pictures of it, but I didn't get any pictures of Rob or Richard at the table, so I'm not guaranteeing who ran that.
They're but, elusive.
Yeah. The Black Powder game I played, Richard Clayton ran that, and it wasn't listed that way. So I'm wondering, I'll have to ask Richard if he ran that for Bill Zona, because Bill wasn't there.
Yeah, I thought someone else was running it. Two people, I think, were supposed to be running it.
That's right. That's right. In the description I saw that, but Richard played the game with us. He ran it. And it's a good thing too, because I don't have a clue what's going on in that game, but I have a good GM. I need all the help I can get.
Well, he can run anything, and he ran the very first game of Black Powder I ever played up at Huzzah. Adrian, again, Adrian's kind of the instigator for all of these rule sets for me. And so my first year at Huzzah, which was the second year they ran it, he went the first year and he's like, John, you should go to this thing. It's really good. I was like, yeah, whatever. And so then he went and he came back and said, it was so good. You got to go. And so I convinced my wife to go, which was odd because it was on the weekend of our wedding anniversary. And she's like, oh, that's fine. We'll go. And so I went and I signed up for a game of Black Powder because I heard good things and I wanted to play. And it turned out, Rich was running it and, oh, someone else, I can't remember the name, but, Boston Trained Bands were doing it. And it was the Battle of, oh heck, American Civil War takes place in Florida and there's a big artillery gun on a railroad truck. And I, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but it was,
I can't do that. I remember seeing that though.
It was a lot of, and I'm sure people listening to this, I gotta say, you talked about this when you talked about Huzzah, so you should know the name, and it's whatever the name is. And, oh, don't you hear that whenever, like, it's right here, but it won't come out, and it's just in the back of your head. And
all day long.
it'll come to me one of these days. And then I'll be like, remember 40 episodes ago I was talking about a thing, this is what it was.
Well, how many episodes have you got now? You can't remember all this stuff.
No, this is 168, so.
Yeah, wow, man.
I can't even remember like five episodes ago. It's awful.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. How could you?
Well, it comes out every other week. So I guess five episodes is, what's that, 10 weeks? It's almost 3 months.
You're a workhorse, Jonathan.
Do you know what? Some people do this weekly or daily, and I don't know how they do it. I just
I don't know. You never get me, you know, I got all kinds of things I'm doing, so otherwise I'd love to do this all the time. Every 2 weeks I probably have to say, well, gee, I gotta do this. You have to clean the chimney, you know?
Yeah. I don't have the time, cause I mean, an hour long show takes an hour to record, about 2 hours in other stuff, you know, promoting it, editing, all that kind of stuff, show notes or whatever. And, I got a virtual assistant kind of who helps with show notes, but even so, it's all these other things and I try to automate, but darn, it's time consuming.
Oh yeah. It's like building a model. You know?
Yeah. Well, and do you know what? People have commented about how I don't like to paint and I don't like to assemble things or whatever. I don't have the time. So even if I did enjoy it, which I don't, when am I going to find 8 or 12 hours to paint a unit of models? It's just, I'm not.
Well, no one else is doing what you're doing. So, I mean, this is kind of special as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you.
We're all building models and painting guys. Nobody's doing the other.
I almost think I get the easy way out because I get to go and enjoy what everyone else has done and talk about it without actually having to, you know, do all that other stuff.
Yeah, well, we need people like that. I mean, I lay my whole game out. Nobody shows up. You know, I don't care if you build models as long as you come to play. You know, you can break my models. Just show up.
Well,
I can fix them.
Someone did, actually. They felt terrible about it in the game I played. And they didn't do it on purpose. I think they were just moving something and, like, the base fell off or the weapon fell out of the guy's hand or something like that. And
actually, I have the miniature right in front of me. I've been telling myself for over a week I was going to fix it. And, still sitting there doing nothing.
I hope
I'll get back into action for a while.
Well, I hope it's an easy fix. Just a little super glue should do it.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. It should have been done.
Well, like you said, you're busy. I mean, we all are. It's hard because there's all these things we want to do. We want to play in all these games, right? But who the heck has time for all of it?
Yeah, it's just battle damage, John. I don't worry about that stuff.
You know, you could leave it as is and kind of incorporate it into your storyline about what had happened and why this model is like that the guy is special or something or other.
If I ever pick it up. It's probably going to, there'll probably be something on top of it before I pick it up.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, that's bad news over here.
There was another sci-fi game too at the Hobby Bunker Game Day. It was that Halo Space Battles game.
Oh yeah, I got a couple of shots of that. That was Austin Mitchell. He ran two games. Pretty cool looking games.
Were they two of the Halo or one of that and one something else?
No, he ran the Halo one and really cool Marvel game with the superheroes and stuff. Really nice game.
Yeah, that looked interesting.
Beautiful. Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. I mean, who doesn't want to play with comic books? Characters, you know, that's pretty cool.
That's true. Superheroes are big right now, very big.
Yeah, I mean, I would, even before they were big, I'd play something like that. Okay, looks pretty neat.
The table was gorgeous too. He had all like the buildings and skyscrapers and a lot of things that I imagined you were able to interact with on the board, things like barrels and cars and signs and all sorts of stuff. So I presume like as superhero, you could go, you could pick them up, you could throw them, you could destroy or use them as weapons or whatever.
I'm sure all hell broke loose on that table. I've got some really nice pictures, but I probably could have got a lot more if I spent the time just, you know, in between running the game, I just make a swing around the room, take a few shots, and I come back and find out what I missed.
You really need an assistant, I think, for your games, because you get so many people and there's so much to keep track of. Like, I think you need someone at each end of the table. So there's like you and someone at the other end so that people can kind of just divide themselves up into who they need to ask about stuff.
That would be great, but, you know, people have their own projects and stuff like that. I mean, if somebody really wanted to commit themselves to it, I'd welcome aboard, you know, but, you know, I know how it is, well, you know, in the hobby, people have their own things. Rich Wallace and I have, like, 3 or 4 projects that have been on the table for 10 years or more. I don't know if we're ever going to get them going, but, you know, as long as I'm doing Hang High, it's not looking good.
Well, that's something you're passionate about, and I think a lot of people are passionate about playing in it, too.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if people stop coming, then I'll probably start something and get something else going. But on the other hand, I have all this stuff made up. You know, I didn't build it all not to use it. I just want to use that stuff. So I just keep adding to it. I just made a couple of things.
There was a World War II fighter combat kind of game that I saw.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the rules, but it looked interesting. It was like 1/400th scale or something like that, I think.
Yeah,
1/1000th.
Yep. I think I have that description. That's a pretty cool looking game. He ran that up at, he had a booth. He was selling the game up there at, Hazard.
I thought that was him.
Yeah, that's the same guy.
Okay, cause
they're neat little models.
They look gorgeous. And I tell you, at Hazard, I almost bought a couple cause I'm a sucker for planes. And I thought, I know what's going to happen. I'll buy them. They'll stay in the package. Baggage will end up in a pile and I'll never do anything with it. And 10 years from now, I'll say, Why did I spend any money on that?
Yeah, I've done so much of that. God, I got stuff I don't even know where it is. They shall not pass. France, 1940. German bombers are headed toward key concentration point for De Gaulle's armored counterattack. French Air Force must stop, raid at all costs. A variety of French fighters have risen to meet the Messerschmitts in Henkel's fast airplay action. It's, oh, that's the Luftwaffe 1946 wars.
Okay.
Marty Fenelon, I think it says. World War II. 1946, that's kind of neat idea.
I wish I could have played in everything. They all look so good. I mean, that World War II aerial combat one, that was right when you walked into the playing space in the back. So it was hard to miss. I tell you what I was sad to not see, because I was going to sign up to play in it after you and everyone else telling me how great it is, and that's the Fenway game.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to do that anymore. I heard he might be selling it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, I'm crushed.
I wonder why.
Well, I don't know. He's been lugging it around for a while, and I think somebody made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Mm-hmm. You know, left the horse head in his bed or something. I don't know.
It's a beautiful board. It looks exactly like Fenway. He's done a lot of work on it, and a lot of people have told me it's the closest you can come to playing baseball using minis. And I know that may not appeal to everyone, because I mean, I'm not a big sports guy anyway, but a lot of us who are into this hobby may not love sports. But what's not to love about just kind of looking at it from a different angle? And I mean, right. It's Fenway.
I mean, our hobby is kind of like a sport in a way, I think. But Leo did a terrific job on that stuff. And you know what? He's more proud of the rules than he is of the setup, and it's a beautiful setup.
Well, Leo, I don't know if you listen to the show, but if you are listening to this episode, I implore you, please bring it back, because I'll sign up to play next year at the Hobby Bucket Game Day. It's hard, because I know I see it at, I don't know if he has run it at TotalCon, but I know I've seen it at Havoc and at Huzzah, and at Havoc I don't get to play and stuff because I'm not there long enough, and at Huzzah, there's so many things that I only see at Huzzah. So I try to sign up for those. So I never got to play in it there, but I would totally play in it at the Hobby Bunker Game Day.
He brought it to Carnage a few times too. As a matter of fact, he brought it to, next week I'm going to Council of Five Nations, and he brought it there last year. He brought Fenway Park to New York, and the Yankees and the Red Sox played in Schenectady, New York. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Council of Five Nations is a con you've mentioned in the past. That's happening September 23rd to the 25th?
Yeah, next weekend.
Cool. Now, are you...
We leave Saturday morning.
You must be running Hang High, right?
I am, yeah. In the Battle of Hang High.
How many sessions of that are you going to run?
Well, it'll take me all morning to set it up. I'll run Hang High. I'm going to run the Battle of Hang High in the evening, and then I'm going to leave it set up overnight. And Jennifer Paperman offered to run Pulp Alley on the table, but she's only going to use half. So I can start picking up. And she's going to do the same thing for me up at Carnage. So that's going to be a big help.
That's really good.
A little Pulp Alley. I might try. I might even play. Who knows?
Well, you did that at Huzzah this year. It was, what was it, the Saturday afternoon slot maybe? You had your table all set up and everything, and a mutual friend of ours, Adam, wanted to run some...
Saturday morning, yeah. Adam ran a great game. Yeah, I played. It was fun.
The name's escaping. Today I'm terrible with names. Frostgrave,
yeah.
Frostgrave. And so he ran that on your table. And,
yeah, that's kind of a cool game. I'll play that again, sure.
You know, I tell you, if I had anything that I could run on your table, I would ask if I could. All the stuff I'm interested in running or playing, it doesn't fit with your stuff. Otherwise, I would do it because your stuff looks great.
Well, just dream something up. Come on, you can do it. I'll give you a session.
I'm not that talented.
Oh,
trust me.
Come on. I'll work with you. We'll do it together.
Actually, I'm beginning to work on stuff for, and maybe I should save this for episodes down the road, but stuff for TotalCon for 2017. Cause, and I think I'm allowed to say this, and if I'm not too bad, I'm saying it anyway. So because Wargaming Recon is part of the TSR podcast network, we're part of the TSR family, and that's a revamped TSR, inspired by and with some connections to people who ran the original TSR. You know, that put out, things, but we're not connected to Wizards of the Coast, so I gotta make sure I say that. But TSR is gonna have a large presence at TotalCon for 2017. And one of the things TSR is doing is it has booked an entire room where TSR is gonna be running a bunch of different games and events and stuff. And we're working on all the details of that. We might have like special things like special free beverages, like bottles of water or different kind of things like that for people who are playing games in the room and running games in the room. So I'm working with Adrian where, and Adrian who listens to the show is probably thinking, you're not supposed to announce this yet. But we're going to be running a game of Bolt Action, if all continues to go as planned. And then I've reached out, there are other people like you, Mike, who I hang out with and we kind of all work together to run these games and things. So there's a guy, Dan Eustace, who runs a lot of the Wizards of the Coast were at sea, World War II naval minis kind of stuff.
I know,
he's a great guy and he does a wonderful job with his games. So I'm going to be working with him. And we're going to get to be in also in the room. I think he's going to do Wiz War. We're going to do War at Sea. I think maybe the War of the Ring board game. I'm going to run 1775. And there might also be a zombie crawl minis game based off Necromunda rules. So it's just kind of a bunch of us who are kind of doing it, you know, under the Wargaming Recon, TSR kind of banner. So it'll be in this special room, and people will be able to come into that room. So it's not going to be the main, like, board game room or the main minis room.
No. You can't go wrong with zombies. Every time I put zombies in the title, I get a crowd.
I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Be different. And I mean, they moved Total Con to a new venue completely. So I have no idea what the layout's like or what it looks like or whatever. I'm looking forward to it because Adrian and I are going to, go together. And, normally I go and I get a room for myself or whatever. And I thought it might be fun this year to, you know, split a room with someone. And all these other shows and gaming clubs and stuff, the guys do that. They go, there's a bunch of guys together and they just, you know, get a couple of rooms or whatever and shenanigans happen. And I thought, I want shenanigans too. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, a little shenanigans. Never heard anything.
So we'll have all these games going on and we'll see what actually ends up happening as we get closer. But I think TotalCon is going to be a lot of fun this year.
It's always fun. I like TotalCon. I'm going to be down there too. I'll set up. I might even stay all right. I'm figuring out yet whether I can do it. I might.
Yeah, I know the hotel rooms are going quickly, but there's a lot more hotel rooms than when it was at the Holiday Inn. So I think people still have time if they wish to book a hotel room for that. And the room rate, I think, was pretty reasonable. One thing that, since we're talking about TotalCon, I wasn't planning to talk about it right now. But one thing we should mention, because I think you saw it, Mike, and I just saw it the other day, the con has changed completely their GM reimbursement and the pricing for the convention. In the past, you paid one price to get in and then you bought event tickets. And these tickets were used for specific games or other events, panels were always free. But if you wanted to go see like the Rocky Horror Picture Show live, they do the Shadowcast. Or if you wanted to go play your game, Mike, or any of the games I did, you had to buy event tickets that covered the time slots. They're not doing that anymore. Instead, it's one price that gets you in the door, whether it's for all weekend or you pay a different price if you want specific days. So right now, and I think this is more important than ever to make sure that you pre-reg for a con. All weekend, if you pre-reg, it's $70. And that gets you, you know, for, they say 4 days because it unofficially starts on the Thursday, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it's $90 at the door. So if you don't pre-reg, it's almost $100 to get into this thing. One day is $25 pre-reg, $30 at the door. And then for GMs, it used to be you had to basically like run a lot of things to make it worth your while. But now you get in credit. So for every 2 hours of stuff that you run as a GM or that you volunteer for the con, you get $6 credit. So you can end up paying off your thing by running very few things, depending on how long they are. And, it's kind of a different way to do it. I know there was a lot of outrage in the past about those tickets. And I tell you, the first year I went, I thought, wait, I gotta pay and then I gotta pay again to play and stuff? What the heck is this? So I was put off by it. I think for most people who will play in a lot of things, they're gonna save money under the new system. But if you're someone who just goes and you play in like one or two things, you're gonna end up paying more, unfortunately. And, but maybe that'll encourage you to play more and they get all this space. So there's gonna be more stuff happening too.
Yeah, it won't even affect me. I take half the day setting up and breaking down and running the game in between, so I won't be pointing at anything.
You know, no, but you're going to be running so much stuff, just time-wise for how long your game is and stuff, and the number of times you run it, you're going to pay off your ticket in no time.
I'll give the credits for the prize. So.
You'll be good to go.
I'm not signing up to play anything, you know. I'm just donating my time to the con, so.
I think they know that your game is a draw for people too, and that you are. So I think, not that I speak for them, but I think that that's something that they appreciate. And like when I go, I get a special press pass, cause they count me as press, which is kind of flattering actually. And so it lets me go, you know, wherever and do all sorts of things. I will play in some stuff, but, I honestly don't know what, because this year I'm going to be doing more than ever, I think, with all the things I'm running and helping people run. And, right now the plan, it's very loose, but the plan is for me to do a live episode of the show there too. So we'll see how, kind of like how I did it at, I've done it at Huzzah, but, this time the difference will be, I think I'll actually have access to high grade equipment because of being part of the TSR family. The producer for the podcast network has really good equipment, and his name's Peter, and he's always offered it up to me in the past, but I think this year he's going to be able to allow me to use it, and I think he'll be able to run the equipment for me. So I'll just be able to be the talent, I guess, which is kind of neat.
That does sound like fun. Nice.
So TotalCon, that's, you know, February 2017, but, that's going to be a lot of fun, I think. Yeah, we live in an area where there's all these really good gaming events. I mean, you talked about Council of Five Nations coming up. We're talking right now about the Hobby Bunker Game Day, and I mean, there's so many other stuff here in New England that
I'm doing something new this year that I never did before. EllisCon. It's a 1-day convention down in Connecticut. And, my friend Vic Gregor invited me down. So it's, Friday night, I'm going to stay at his house so I can set my game up Friday night. And then I'm going to let them decide when I run. You know, they want me out of there by 9 o'clock. So they better run the count. It takes a while to pick it all up, you know, but that'll be fun. You know, I've never done it. I guess that's EllisCon 28. They've been doing it for a while. And, but it's a 1-day con, you know, so I'm not surprised that a lot of people don't know about it. But it should be fun. I think I can get there in just a little over an hour and a half, maybe, so it shouldn't be too bad.
That's it?
Yeah, it's just on 395, and it's kind of a straight shot for me out of Greenville, so it's not too bad.
Oh wow, cause I mean, I know you're in New Hampshire, so I always picture like it takes you forever to get to anywhere around here, and like Connecticut's even further south.
Right, but it looks like it's not too far over the border, so. I go directly south from where I am, shoot through Worcester and down 395, and then I hit the Connecticut border in about, you know, maybe an hour 10, hour 15. It looks like it's maybe only 20 minutes past there.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, maybe a half hour or something, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's 2 hours. The rides I take home from work every morning.
Well, you must be excited about the new location for TotalCon then, because being able to, I saw the location. I thought, oh no, not up there. I used to live out in Natick, which is not too far from it. And if I was out there, it'd be great. But now I'm like, it's going to take me like an hour to get there in February and probably going to snow. And
yeah, that's the thing about
that. I got all grouchy about it.
Yeah, I don't want to get stuck in a snowstorm. I drove home in a snowstorm one night and it was awful. I should have just stuck hung around, slept in my truck or something. Oh my God. But, I had fun, so I'm coming back anyway.
Well, I gotta say, I've never heard of the 1-day con you're going to, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun, yeah. Anything that Vic is involved with is gonna be good anyway. He hunts some pretty cool stuff. I played a Chindits game, you know, Burma, World War II at Havoc League, and that was crazy. Got my behind kicked right out of the jungle, but still had a good time.
I kind of think of the Hobby Bunker Game Day as like an unofficial 1-day con. Because you have all those variety of games throughout the whole day. You can do shopping there. It's like unofficially sponsored by someone. And then although there's not places to eat at the location, there's a lot of really good places nearby to go eat. And so like in my head, I think of it that way. It runs from, you know, the early morning to at night, so you can go do whatever. And other than being at a game store as opposed to like a convention location or whatever, I don't really see any difference.
Oh, Matt Murphy bought a whole bunch of cold cuts and, you know, just asked everybody to throw a couple of bucks in just to help him out so he didn't have to pay for anything.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, so I made out pretty good. I had a few sandwiches. I didn't have to go anywhere. No, it was kind of nice.
And, I went.
You know, I love shopping there. That's one of the reasons I like to go too. You know, I never walk out of there.
Oh, I went with Adrian. We're like, we should go get some lunch. And so we thought we saw a sign for a pub nearby, and we were trying to figure out where it was. So we just kind of went walking. And we ended up at this place called Hugh O'Neill's. It's right over on Pleasant Street. So that's like one street over from the Hobby Bunker.
Oh, I know where it is.
Yeah. You sound like someone who's been there before.
No, I haven't been there. I don't drink anymore, so I'm not going to no pub.
No, but I tell you though, I think Adrian was thinking, oh, he wanted a beer. And I was thinking, oh, I hope they have really good food. So we walk in and a ton of people from the bunker were there. Rich Clayton was there and a lot of other people were running stuff. And the food was amazing. Just really, really good. I got this delicious beef stew made with Guinness and a grilled cheese sandwich. I've been raving about this grilled cheese sandwich. It had paper thin slices of green apple in it, like Granny Smith green apple in it. Oh. It was delicious. And it came with a salad with, it's kind of like fresh, spring greens and stuff. And oh, it was so, so good. You could tell that they care a lot about their food. Everything was dirt cheap too. I had a beer. It was a cranberry something, something beer. And I had those things and it was under $20, I think, for everything.
Well, it sounds good until you said cranberry beer. Oh my God.
I get a lot of flack from people. I like my flavored stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you like what you like, you know?
But I would recommend Hugh O'Neill's to anyone next time they go to the Hoppy Bunker. But I didn't know that Matt had, stuff that you could have there in store.
Yeah, actually, I think his timing was a little off because everybody was gone when he brought it all back. He's like, oh man. But, I helped myself out. I did all right. We should mention, to everybody that whole game day really is Richard Clayton. If it wasn't for him, that probably wouldn't even go off. He does a great job.
I can't imagine. Just how much work and time and effort it takes for him to kind of, you know, get a shepherd everyone and get them to all come together and make sure they get the info to you in time and the space and all that kind of stuff. And organizing things is hard. So I give him a lot of credit for it.
Yeah. He made it happen. You know, it was fun. I had a good time. I'm glad he does it. You know, Boston Train fans. Nice job, guys.
They always put on good events, whether, you know, they're actually running a game or something like this where they're getting other people to run stuff. It's always high quality events, a lot of fun. There's someone else, I look for their name or people who I know are members of it, and I know it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, you can't go wrong by signing up for one of their games. You go up to Huzzah, and you see Boston Train bands in the description, you know you're picking a good game.
We're moving, unless there's anything else you want to add about the Hobby Bunker game, we're moving on to one of my favorite sections of the show, the mailbag segment, and that's where listeners get to send feedback, comments, questions, that kind of stuff, and we talk about it on the air. Other than making sure that we thanked Rich, was there anything else you wanted to talk about with the Hobby Bunker game day?
Well, I'm pretty sure we could get another hour out of that, but go for the mailbag.
Okay. So via email, guest Joe Wetzel, who was on the previous episode where we talked about the Hexographer 2 Kickstarter, he sent an email to all of his Kickstarter backers as a part of an update. And since I'm a backer, I also got the email and he talked about episode 166, the one he was on. He said, quote, Jonathan has a lot of passion for the project and energy. I highly recommend listening. Thanks, Jonathan, unquote. It was a pleasure talking with Joe, and I don't know how he finds the time to do all the things he does, because it feels like he's always having a Kickstarter going. They're always successful. They're always very well funded, and it is, I don't know. My mom always has this adage that she has told me where, if you ever want anything done, you got to give it to a busy person because they just get it done somehow, and heaven knows. But he seems to be one of those kind of people where things just get done. And his Kickstarter just finished. It successfully got backed. It raised tons and tons and tons of money and met all the stretch goals that I talked about in the episode and then some. One of the things that I've liked about him for a long, long time, and I hope came through in the episode, it's that he's a good guy. And a way you can tell is when he sent the final update out to everyone saying, yay, we're funded and all that kind of stuff. He said that they were close to meeting a couple of the stretch goals. They didn't really have any extra costs associated with them other than, you know, just some small things that were kind of going to be covered by the project. And so he wasn't promising, but he was basically throwing those extra stretch goals in for free to everyone.
Nice.
And I mean, that's just good customer service right there.
Oh, you take care of your customers, they take care of you, right?
It is so impressive. And this most recent Kickstarter, it had almost 1,200 people backed the project.
Wow.
I think that's impressive. It says something about him, too. I mean, I was impressed. And I appreciate him saying the kind words and telling almost 1,200 people to come listen to the show and all that kind of stuff. So that's just really cool. And I'm so happy. Not just because I'm a backer, because I'm going to get something cool out of it, but I'm really happy that his project successfully funded. And I know he had a good time coming on the show, and that's one thing I really hope when, like, I have someone on the show, whether it's someone like you, Mike, or another guest or whatever, I hope that people enjoy their time here, that it's not just like, oh, I agreed to do this thing and I did it, but I never want to do it again because it was awful and I hate that guy and blah, blah, blah.
I wouldn't even do this if I wasn't having fun. I'm all about fun.
That's what I like. And I know the people who listen to the show, I know you guys and girls, there are some girls who listen, kind of fit the demographics of the people who play this hobby. But I know you enjoy what we do. I think we need more. Not to say we don't have some, but I'd love to have more. Some people might be like, well, of course you want more because you're a guy and you like looking at ladies. And of course I am a guy and I like women. I'm married to a woman, but that's not why. I just think it's something that everyone can love. So
when I have girls playing in my game, it makes it even more interesting than it is.
Yeah.
It's just something about having girls in the game. It's just a different dynamic or something. It's just fun.
We've also been this episode talking about a little bit about TotalCon, which is, it's kind of funny because, another mailbag thing actually via Facebook pertains to TotalCon. So one of the guests for TotalCon, industry guests, is Stephen Wallet. He's from nerdragenews.com. It's a really interesting website. It shares news and tips, kind of like Kotaku or IGN or IO9, like any of those kind of have pop culture sort of stuff in it. But he deals with a lot of like tabletop and gaming and that sort of stuff. So I met him at TotalCon this year, 2016. And he sent me a message, some feedback through Facebook to let me know about a new project he's doing. And so he's doing a tabletop documentary. It's called And Now a Word from a Gamer. He's in the process of it. And he's asked me and invited me to be part of the project. So he's going to interview me actually at TotalCon 2017. I don't know exactly when or details or anything.
The interview was going to get interviewed.
It's weird because, I mean, I'm honored. But at the same time, I'm like, what can I do? What can I add to this? Why? Like, I should be on the other side, right? I should be like, so tell me about your project and how's it going?
You're probably turning it around the other way, don't you?
I don't know how it's going to go. I'm intrigued and I'm excited and kind of nervous because I shouldn't be over where everyone else is. Yeah, it is definitely the wrong chair. Like, I am the wrong side of the table.
That's all right. You'll have fun.
I think it's going to be really interesting. I don't even know if I'll make the final cut or how much airtime I'll have or any of that kind of stuff. There's an IMDb listing, though, for it. So, like, it's real. It's not just, like, someone's like, I'm going to make a movie. It's a movie. And I get a link in the show notes, so you can click on that and you can find out more that way. And I know what some people are thinking, that, oh, it's another documentary about tabletop gaming, because the miniature Wargaming the Movie documentary was just on a Kickstarter. It's going to be coming out, and we talked about it here. You know, I remember that episode. Joe Piddington, the great guy, had him on the show.
Yeah, good show.
I think these are going to be very different, though, because that was very much like British.
Right.
And a lot on GW and historicals and like the GW kind of family and the people who used to work for GW and all that kind of stuff. Right. And from the little bit that I'm gathering, I think this project by Stephen Wallet is going to be more of a generic tabletop gaming. It's going to probably cover, just because of his own background and things I know about him and some of the other people involved, a lot of role-playing games and that kind of stuff. He's doing this in conjunction with the people from the Mythwits, who do an amazing video internet show. It's weekly Monday nights. The guy who heads it up, Peter Bryan, is also the producer for TSR. And so I think maybe that's kind of how the invite for me kind of got in. And I said way back when I announced being part of the TSR podcast network, it was going to have a lot more of this kind of stuff, I think, coming out. So I think this is one of the things, you know, that's going to be made possible through it. And I presume that a reason why Steven wants to have me on the show is to talk a lot more about wargaming and tabletop historical wargaming and that kind of stuff. So we'll see. But as it gets closer, and as I find out more about what he kind of wants to know, I will reach out to all of you listeners and everyone to see what sort of stuff you think I should say. So that way I don't sound like dumb and I don't make our part of the hobby sound like moronic, because that's not what I want to do. But I think it's neat and it's interesting, and I can't wait for when it comes out. And actually,
yeah, it sounds interesting already. I'm looking forward to it.
Speaking of gaming documentaries, this isn't even in I do an outline of things I want to talk about, like bullet points, and this isn't even in it. But there's a documentary out about another guy who's been at TotalCon, and he is the person behind that amazing, just absolutely gorgeous 3D D&D terrain. And the name of the documentary is The Dwarvenaut. It's on Netflix. They were at Gen Con, and it is, I tell you, the stuff is absolutely beautiful. So that is now available, and I think it was at Sundance, and just all sorts of really cool stuff. But the focus of it is on the guy, Stefan Picorni, and he's done so well. He does it all through Kickstarter. And he's
told me about that. I'm gonna check that out.
Well, one thing I've actually been kind of thinking about is maybe doing a sort of, you know, like there are book clubs, and like now the rage is with podcasts, like there'll be a podcast for a hit TV show. And so everyone watches one episode of the TV show, and then the podcast episode comes out and they discuss it. I was kind of thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool to do something like that for this documentary? Because it's out there, it's on Netflix, so people can like watch the documentary, and then I'll talk about it on the show maybe later this year, and maybe I can get Stefan on. He and I connected at TotalCon, and I have his phone number somewhere, and get him to come on and talk about the documentary and what he does. And
all right, I'm in. I'm penciling me in on that one.
Okay. I got to see how things work, but I think it's neat. It sounds cool, and it's gotten really good reviews from stuff. So as I said, that wasn't on my list, but that's, I mean, speaking of gaming movies, it's kind of a cool time for this sort of stuff to be happening. And I don't think we've had this much positive attention shed on our hobby in a long, long time.
Anything to do with gaming is not a bad thing. Even if it's a game I don't like, I'm still in favor of it.
Only good things can come from it is how I feel about it.
Same here.
And that's all I have for mailbag, but I do have some announcements for people. So I want to remind everyone that we are proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the people who put on Huzzah, which you and I have been talking about, and I'm excited because Huzzah is happening May 19th to the 21st, 2017.
I'm always excited about Huzzah.
Everyone has to make sure you book your rooms. I get my room booked.
I got mine booked.
And it's at the Doubletree Inn in South Portland. It's a beautiful location, and it's great. The food's good there. The restaurant's good. It's easy to get to stuff. It's near the main mall, and it's fun. And you can get to it, and I go with my wife and the baby, and so we go and do some family stuff. You can go into Portland and look at lighthouses and all that kind of stuff. And right now the plan is for me to be doing another live recording. It's kind of become tradition for me to ask you, Mike, and then you end up being busy because you're running Hang High. So then I end up having Adrian come on. So I think
you guys are gonna have to bring that microphone over to the game sometime. When you get the equipment, you know?
Well, that I was just about to say, that's the thing. And leads into the next thing I want to talk about. One of the ways that the show kind of stays afloat, obviously, is through having sponsors where, it's a paid ad, basically. But I only engage in sponsorships with people where I firmly believe in them or like what they're doing. So I've actually turned down people who said, I want to give you X amount of dollars, and it's been a good amount of money, but I couldn't enter into an agreement because I didn't fully buy in. The MHWA completely buy in and love what they do and everything. So that was a no-brainer. But another way is it's kind of like the PBS model, and it's Patreon. So listeners like you who enjoy the show, who like what happens here, can pledge money. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a backer on Patreon. That gets you behind-the-scenes content, and it gets you episodes before non-backers. And then there's other levels where you get other rewards, and they have different price points. So you can get, of course, I don't have candy, but you can get a postcard mailed to you once a month, and I'll write on the back. This one is kind of a layout that I use where, I need to remember this is where the stamp, because they need a certain amount of space and all this stuff. But like I write out everything there, and it's a personalized message every month and what's going on and all that kind of cool stuff. I get those, wooden dice, the ones that, I love them. They're just the really cool wooden dice, laser engraved, $18 a month gets you those. And Christopher Rett is the one who created them and designed them. I think they're gorgeous. But
yeah, Chris makes some cool stuff.
And he was doing coins and tokens and stuff for Huzzah, and he's doing all sorts of other things.
He made some for me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, they're still in the bag. I gotta get them. They're pretty cool.
I'm almost at the point where I need to, hire him to make some more dice because I'm running out. And I'm actually thinking what I want to do is if I do run out, and I'm hoping I do, is that every year I'll have a different logo on them so that that will identify with a specific year. So like the ones right now, they don't have the year on them, but like they'll be like, these are the 2016 ones and next year. Yeah. And do something like that. Cause I think that'll be kind of cool. And I think people like it. And I love them. They're fun to use. They look nice. They're good on the table and they're good for the environment.
Did you get to use your Recon tape measure at the game? Cause it was on the table.
No. And do you know what? I have some here that I haven't, given to backers yet or sold or anything. And I went to look for them before the game day and I can't find where I put them. And I was like, oh, I wanted to use these things. And I don't know, but I have my dice.
Well, you are a lot like me, John.
It's just, there's too many things going on. One of the cool things though with Patreon is that you can set goals so that, for example, we recently met a goal. We're working on our next goal, which we're $28 away. And that specific goal, is one that you were alluding to, Mike. This goal will, when we reach it, cause like I said, we're $28 away from it. But when we reach it, I will be able to buy some new podcast equipment so I can record in person with a guest. I'll be able to purchase like a second microphone, pop filter, shock mount, all that kind of stuff. So that when I go to something like Huzzah or the Hobby Bunker Game Day or whatever, I could take the equipment and I can go, say when you're playing and running a game, Mike, I can go up to you and be like, hey, you got like 4 minutes? And here we go. Instead of being wed to my setup right now where like I have my MacBook. And I gotta sit and have that and I have everything all laid out. And so when I'm at Huzzah, I'm actually in a separate room and we're there and we record and so forth. So hopefully I'll be able to actually kind of have more people involved. Not so much a round table because that would need a lot of mics and equipment that I don't have, but just kind of maybe easing more towards all that kind of stuff. So that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. A round table would be cool too. We did one with Chris Rett one time.
Kind of yeah. I tell you, if I had the equipment, I would do it in a heartbeat. Gotta raise a lot more money on Patreon than what I'm not that I'm not raising a decent amount of money. I'm doing quite well. And that sounds like I'm bragging, which I don't mean to, but like I'm very pleasantly surprised by the support that's happening on Patreon. It needs to be much higher in order to do something like that, but we are doing so, so well on Patreon and I'm just really grateful to everyone for their support. I want to make sure I thank some of our Patreon backers though. So I want to thank Dave in the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick, Chris Parker from DayofBattleGames.com, and Kyle from Vermont. And Mike, I believe you know Kyle, actually. And I think you're the reason why he's a backer on the show.
I am. Well, good job, Kyle.
Because he didn't give me permission to give his last name out, but I believe it's the Kyle whom you know.
Well, it probably is.
if I'm remembering correctly. So thank you, Mike.
thank you, Kyle.
For that. Yeah, I was so stoked because you get these updates when you get a new backer or if a backer changes their pledge amount, cause you can, you know, make it higher, you can make it lower, you can set monthly limits and everything. And I was like, you have a new backer. And I was like, I do. And why is the money higher? And I'm looking and I'm trying to figure out who it was. And it said Kyle. I'm like, Kyle who? Do I know a Kyle? And so I went on Facebook and I start going through the list of everyone who's like the Wargaming Recon Facebook page. And I'm like, who is it? So I'm going through and then I saw it was him. And I was like, oh wait, I know Kyle. And I've talked with him online before and I know the connection via you, and I was like, this is really cool. So I was extra excited about it.
That's awesome.
And before we finish the episode, I just have two other little things. One, it's getting to be that time of year where I do the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. This is coming up on November 5th, 2016. And for anyone who's listening and is not aware what this is, here goes. So this is my fifth year doing it. And Extra Life is a charity that raises money so that kids who need medical treatment and can't afford to get it can have that medical treatment. There's a lot of kids out there who have cancer, who have CF, who have really scary diseases and illnesses, and not all of them come from families with money that can pay for these things. Now, I don't know about everyone, but I think kids should be getting the medical treatment that they need. And it's hard because I can't imagine being a parent and be like, Timmy, you're really, really sick, but we can't help you. Because we can't afford to pay for you to go see the doctor. Like that kills me. So Extra Life, it raises the money and it goes out to different area hospitals. They're all over the US, I believe all over the world. And you can pick as an Extra Life fundraiser, which hospital you want the money to go to that you raise. So I've chosen Boston Children's Hospital as I've done in the past. Any money raised will go and benefit Boston Children's Hospital so that kids can go there and get top-notch medical help and their families never see a bill. It's all paid for by Extra Life. So for this year, I'm trying to raise $250. I'm asking people to make a donation if they are so willing and able. The link is wargamingrecon.com/charity. Very simple, very easy. It'll be in the show notes. But you can go there, pledge any amount, $1, $10, $50, whatever you can afford to do. It would mean a lot. And then in addition to that, I've kind of talked about earlier in this podcast season, I'm going to be doing a few eBay charity auctions where proceeds from those charity auctions are going to then go to Extra Life to benefit Boston Children's Hospital. So I have some donations actually I'm looking at near me of painted minis and cool stuff, and those will be going up. And the first, I'm going to do them in a couple different batches, but the first charity auction will go live on October 10th, which is the day that the next episode comes out. So when I have the link and all that kind of stuff, I'll mention it in the episode. I'll talk about it on social media and everything. And as I said, the proceeds from those eBay auctions will then go into this fundraising method, and then that'll go and help out the kids so that they can get the medical treatment that they need. And it sucks. Like, this stuff is so expensive, and I understand, like, it needs to be, but, like, these are kids, and they shouldn't have to worry about whether or not they can get better. They should just be kids, and we should just do what we can to help them. So that's why I like to do this and why it's the fifth year that I'm doing it. So hopefully we can raise some money and help some kids and have some fun playing games. The 24-hour Gamathon, it's about doing all of those things. So I'll be playing games 24 hours and doing all the usual things. I'll probably live stream some stuff and live blog and do all sorts of cool stuff. So that is Extra Life. And I want to remind everyone, the next episode of the show does come out October 10th, 2016. And if you want to see what's going to be coming on in future episodes, you can visit the episode guide. And I think that's it. But remember, you don't have to remember all of these things. Just a link to the show notes. WarGamingRecon.com/WR168. WarGamingRecon.com/WR168. And Mike, I think we talked about all sorts of stuff. So that's good.
We did, but I'd still like to plug the cons that I'm going to. It's okay, we did.
Please do.
All right, I'm going to Council of Five Nations next weekend. And then Carnage is coming up. And then not too long after that, I'll be going to EllisCon. Then, of course, later on down the road, we get Hugs Island Happy. That's a little ways off. I'd like to just throw that out there since I can get away with it. Thanks, Jonathan.
It's going to be a good end of the year, I think. A lot of cool gaming opportunities happening, fun events, and cool things to talk about. It's exciting.
Yep. Love the hobby. Just love it.
Well, Mike, I am so glad that you were able to join us as a recurring guest co-host. So this was cool.
Yeah, I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, we will make that happen as much as you're willing to come back on.
Well, if I'm not doing nothing, Jonathan, I'm on, you know?
That is awesome. Well, I want to thank everyone else for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. And I want to remind all of you that no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, how many game days you're running, you're playing in, you're planning for, you know, you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016.
2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.